This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Webb, and thanks for downloading this week's Science Extra bonus episode. These reviews of some of the big stories of 2018 are going out on RN every Sunday morning this summer, along with Occam's Razor, which you can find in its own podcast feed. Do subscribe. Today, I'm joined by Janelle Wiley from the ABC Science Unit, science journalist and space fan, and we're looking back on the year as it happened beyond this little planet of ours. G'day, Janelle.
Good morning, Jonathan.
First of all, it's a time when telescopes are getting more and more powerful. What are some of your highlights from the world of telescopes, from astronomy this year?
Well, we've had some incredible finds thanks to some of the wonderful telescopes that we've got out there. The first find actually was a piece of research from very early this year, and it actually takes us back almost to the Big Bang. In fact, only 180 million years after the Big Bang.
Sounds like a lot of years, but in context, what are we? We're about 14 billion years since the Big Bang now?
Yeah, we're around about 13.8 billion years since the Big Bang.
So this is a fraction of one of those billions after it happened, so fair little while ago.
That's right. So when those first stars started flaming, now they're so far back in time that we can't directly see them, so we need to rely on radio telescopes to find them. And for such a big discovery, we used this incredibly simple antenna in outback Western Australia that's shaped like a table. And it sits out in the Red Plains and the Murchison radio astronomy area north of Perth. And it was able to pick up this radio signal, essentially the afterglow of the Big Bang, using this really simple antenna.
It is a very surprising contrast, isn't it? I actually got to go and visit this telescope, and it literally looks like a ping pong table in the middle of the desert. And to think that it's very carefully designed to detect this very particular signal, but compared to the big dishes and so on that we've also got out there, it seems relatively low tech. And yet, this discovery from the very dawn of time, what was that discovery? Can you break down for us exactly what they mean by the first starlight?
So basically what it is, it's the signal from the stars when they're first using hydrogen and they're just starting to light up. And so what we see is that the signal, it's travelling through the plasma and through to us, that we're expecting to find the signal. But it was actually a lot stronger than what we anticipated. And that tells us that there was probably something happening in that early universe that we suspect dark matter may play a role here, because the signal was so strong that there had to be something colder than what was happening at the early universe. Now, there isn't really anything much colder than dark matter, so it could tell us a little bit more about what was happening in those very first moments just after the Big Bang.
Very first, very tumultuous moments. And the only thing that can explain it being cooler than we thought is the thing we don't really understand yet, called dark matter, but we expect it to be cold. Is that a fair summary?
Exactly. And of course, well, that'll give astronomers a lot more research to be doing in the future. So we're very excited about that.
Lots of fresh challenges. Now, the same part of the world, right, the Murchison area, that amazing outback outpost with various telescopes in it run by the CSIRO and others, that has Australia's component of the Square Kilometre Array, and they announced some exciting findings this year as well.
Well, that's right. So just after having operated this telescope for a year, we've suddenly found a whole swag of these really intriguing fast radio bursts. Now, these are a pulse of high-energy particles that happen in the blink of an eye or the click of a finger, and they're gone. And we don't know exactly what they are or where they come from. And this is what they sound like.
That's amazing. Sounds like a video game or something.
Exactly.
But they're faster than that, right? So has that been slowed down so we can hear it?
They happen in just a millisecond. So they're just like a click of a finger.
And they're in the radio wave. So that's kind of a sound presentation of what hits these radio dishes every now and then if we happen to be looking in the right place.
That's right. And we first discovered these strange signals around about 2007. And since then, we'd found around about 34 of them.
Right. 34 over about a decade. That's not loads.
But all of a sudden, within a year of this telescope starting, we've got another 20. So that's an extraordinary figure. And a lot of it has to do with the configuration of this amazing telescope. So when it's operating fully, it's got 36 dishes and they can all point in different direction, and that's called fly-eye mode.
Fly-eye mode.
Fly-eye.
Okay, so like the eye of a fly, which has lots of components, but in this case, each component is a giant radio dish.
And looking at a greater surface area. So what they were able to do with just 8 of the antennas, that they were able to look at a portion of the sky that was 1,000 times bigger than the full moon in the sky. So it gave them a much bigger area to look at in the sky. And we think that these fast radio bursts are happening all the time. You just have to be in the right place at the right time to find them. So we know that the closest is around about 100 million light years away. That is beyond our galaxy. So this confirms that these strange signals are actually coming from beyond our galaxy.
From outside the Milky Way,
from
other galaxies.
From outside the Milky Way, that's right. And the strongest signal that we picked up produced as much energy as what our sun produces in 80 years. So incredibly powerful.
In a blink of an eye.
In an instant, that's right.
What's doing it, Janelle? What can create that much energy that fast?
We don't know, but we do suspect it's not aliens.
Yeah, you do see those headlines every now and then when the fast radio bursts are detected. So definitely not aliens, but if we gather more information about where these things are coming from and how often, the characteristics that we get from collecting more of them, will that help us narrow down what might be causing them?
This particular telescope, ASCAP, now you can point all of the dishes in the one direction and you can basically try to triangulate where a signal would come from and then use other telescopes, a little bit like the way that we discovered gravitational waves, so called multi-messenger astronomy. You pick up a signal and then you get other telescopes as well to observe the same part of the sky at the same time, and we can try and pin down exactly what these things are and where they come from.
Fascinating discoveries coming from out there in the outback. What else have you got for us? I gather the search for exoplanets was joined by the potential discovery of an exomoon this year.
A lot of excitement about this, but the astronomers themselves are still being a little bit hesitant. They're not quite saying, yes, we've discovered an exomoon. They're saying we still need to find some more evidence for what they've got.
What is an exomoon? What is it that they're looking for?
So an exomoon, like our own moon, is a moon that goes around a planet. So now you can imagine it's not that easy trying to find an alien planet at the best of times. And the wonderful Kepler Space Telescope has enabled us to identify more than 2,500 alien planets, and then probably another 2,000 candidates on top of that. So we've got
That's
a lot of scope
there.
It's extraordinary.
So when you look out at all those stars out there, which we can now think of as being, you know, suns like ours, they might have planets around them, right? That's what Kepler's shown us. There's a lot of other planets out there.
That's right.
Detecting a moon around one of those planets?
Well, that's right. So then you've got to get things to really line up, because to detect a planet at the best of time, you've got to see a dip as that planet moves in front of its sun, so in between us. To detect a moon, you need to sort of like be able to have the moon and the planet and the sun line up. And so sometimes the moon is a little bit before the planet going across the sun or behind it, and so you can miss it. But in this particular case, what the astronomers saw were double dips in the data, in the Kepler data.
Double dips.
Double dips. So they saw one dip, which they identified as being an exoplanet, so it's 1625b. And then not long after that, they saw another dip in the data that suggested it was being followed by something the size of Neptune. So imagine that.
Wow, that's not a small moon either.
No, it's not. It's giant. It's really big. That got them thinking, well, we'd like to have a look at this in more detail, but to do that, you need a bigger telescope that has a higher resolution.
Of course you do.
So they got some time on the Hubble telescope.
Right.
And the Hubble telescope has about 40 times the resolution of Kepler.
Mm-hmm. They're both space telescopes, right? So they're both out there orbiting in space. But Hubble's got much better kit, I guess.
And the ability to point it in the one place for a period of time. And that's exactly what they did. And they pointed it towards this planetary system. 1625. Very catchy. They always do have catchy names.
A whole month.
So think about that. That's a lot of observing time on a telescope such as Hubble. So this was a big deal.
Mm.
And what they found in that Hubble data, again, is that they found this double dip in the data, and they found that there was something that corresponded with a Neptune-sized something. about
moon.
75...
Might be a moon.
Might be a moon.
Neptune-sized something.
Yeah, about 75 minutes after the planet transited.
Fascinating year for people looking through telescopes. Let's shift our attention more towards bits of kit that we've flung off the planet and are touring the solar system in various ways, and indeed beyond. Space exploration. What have been the big stories for you this year, Janelle?
Well, we've had a lot happening. There's been launches and there's been landings, and so lots of the solar system being explored at the moment. One of the big ones is a mission to the sun.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff of the mighty Delta IV Heavy rocket with NASA's Parker Solar Probe, a daring mission to shed light on the mysteries of our closest star, the sun.
Love a good countdown.
Exactly, and this has been something on the NASA bucket list forever.
Right.
This is one of the original missions on NASA's bucket list.
Really? To go and, what are they calling it, the mission to touch the sun, aren't they?
That's right. What we're going to do is we're going to explore the sun's corona. So that's the fuzzy bit that you see during a solar eclipse. And there's a big mystery there as to why it is much hotter than this surface of the sun.
Hmm.
And also what drives the solar wind, which permeates the entire solar system.
Yeah, well, it hits us every now and then, right, and causes some problems. So this
thing's
going to fly right into it, fly into that hazy bit that we can see near the fringe of the sun when it gets blocked out by the moon. That's extraordinary. And the year's not over, right, and there's something at least that exciting just about to happen on New Year's Day.
We are about to have our first close-up look at the furthest thing in the solar system that we've yet seen out in the Kuiper Belt. It's this little object called Ultima Thule, this rock or two rocks. We don't exactly know what it is yet. It is really the furthest that we've been able to take a close look at.
And how are we getting there? What's the craft that's taking us to this furthest piece of exploration that we've ever managed?
Well, we're going there via a little craft called New Horizons, and you might be familiar with New Horizons. New Horizons was the craft that brought Pluto into close view.
But it's still headed out there through the Kuiper Belt, and this is its next rendezvous.
That's right, 1.6 billion kilometres away from Pluto. It's about to fly past. If you want to get an idea about how far that is, it's a little bit further than the distance from the Sun to Saturn. So that's an extraordinary distance to fly in such a short time.
It's almost a whole extra solar system away. And those close-up pictures, just like the ones we got from Pluto, you know, that same kind of resolution, all those instruments on New Horizons, it's making that flyby on the 1st of January, is that right?
That's right. You can spend your New Year's Eve watching Ultima Thule come into fine view.
Keep an eye on the New Horizons Twitter feed, I guess is a good place, but also the ABC will be keeping you posted on our news website. Janelle, it's an exciting time out there in the solar system and our galaxy and beyond. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Janelle Wiley is a senior science writer in the science unit here at the ABC. In next week's Science Extra bonus download, I'll be discussing some of 2018's top health headlines. Before then, of course, you'll hear another full episode of The Science Show from Robin Williams and friends. I'm Jonathan Webb. Bye for now.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.